Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Megillah is daf Zayin. We're on the bottom of Vav Amud Beis. We're in the middle of Agadata, and let's finish up the Divrei Agadata, and we're going to get to the next Mishnah. The Agadata that we're in the middle of right now all started from a statement made by Rabbi Yochanan on the bottom of Hey Amud Beis. Rabbi Yochanan made the statement that when I was a young kid. So I thought to identify the three locations that are mentioned in the pasuk in Yehoshua, and he looked to identify the cities of Hamas and the cities of Hamas and Rekes and Kinneres. Okay, and was a question of what exactly which cities they were. Rava disagreed, and that ensued most of the discussion yesterday on Vav Amud Aleph. Okay, we're now all the way towards the bottom of the Amud, and we're going to continue with a little more, I guess we'll call it a Gadata, and we'll get to the next Mishnah. Amar Yitzchak Mai Dechsiv. We are all three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Al Titen Hashem Me Oivai Rasha. Kadosh Baruch Hu, do not give the desires of my enemies. Zamal Al Tafek Yerum Musela. Don't take out the nose ring from my enemy. Nose ring, what does that have to do with anything over here? So take a look at Rashi. Last Rashi on the Amud, Zamal Shal Tefek. Al Totienim in Echarav Zamam. Don't take out from their nose the ring. Kimin Tabas Barzel. It was an iron ring. Shenosin Bechotma Shal Anaka. And it was placed into the nose of a Anaka. All right, camel, female camel, or donkey. V'nimsheches Bow, Mitoch Chozka, Eino Mishtamerz Ki Im Bow. Animal was such a strong animal that the only way you could really control the animal is only by the nose ring that's attached to the nose of the animal. So the request that's made by David HaMelech and Sefer Tehillim is don't give my enemies the desire and keep that nose ring in his nose, meaning keep that animal under control. It's referencing the enemies. Amar Yaakov of Nechaz Baruch Ribbono Shalom Al Titen Le'ezav Rasha Tavas Libo. And the Gemara darshins, Yaakov says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't let Esav HaRasha have all of his desires, Zamal Tefek. And don't take the nose ring out of that animal. Which animal are we talking about? Which nation are we talking about? Again, we're talking about Yaakov, and we're talking about Esav, but specifically whom? So turn the page. Zug Germamya She'aldom, the top of Vav Amud Beis. It's Germamya She'aldom. Now, it's interesting. We have the word Germamya. If you take a look at the Gra, not here in Yuma, the Gra says that it's not Germamya, but it's rather Germania, Memnun. And it sounds a lot like Germany, and Rav Yaakov Emden says it is a reference to Germany. So rather amazing. This is a Gemara written 1,500 years ago, but referencing the animal of Edom being Germany. And if without the nose ring in its nose, so it will unleash and do unbelievable damage. If you take the nose ring out, they're going to destroy the entire world. It's rather unbelievable what the Gemara was able to forecast. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanin Tlas Meas Ketire Tagi Ika Begamamya. The Gemara gives a description of this nation, this descendant of Edom. They have 300 princes. Tlas Meas Ketire Tagi Ika Begamamya. 300 princes shall Edom. Utlas Meas Vishis Mechamisha Mezavne Ika Beromi. And there are 365 Mirzavne, other types of dignitaries. And there's so much infighting and there's so much politicking, and every day they kill one another and they try to institute a new king. So they fight a lot of infighting. Okay. This Gemara over here is really a takeoff of what we saw yesterday. It would have been better if we did this yesterday, so you would have seen the bridge. But yesterday we discussed how Yerushalayim and Kesaria have a relationship of inverted proportion, meaning that when Yerushalayim is up, Kesaria is down. When Kesaria is up, Yerushalayim is down. And so, and if somebody comes over to you, we saw this yesterday in the Gemara, somebody comes over to you and says to you, they're both up, meaning they're both succeeding, so don't believe them. And they're both down, and don't believe them as well. The only thing to believe is that one is up and the other is down. And to which the Gemara over here says a similar concept in terms of Yigia. Im Amar Lecha Adam, person says to you, Gati v'lo matzasi. Right? I tried, I really made efforts, but I couldn't find it. So, Al Tamein. So don't believe them. So lo yagati umatzasi, and the inverse also is not true. Let's say I put no yigi in, I put no effort in, but I found it. So al tamin, again, don't believe that statement as well. Yagati umatzasi, somebody comes over to you and says to you, I really struggled, I made effort, and matzasi, and I found it. So to that, tamin. So that you could believe. Now hani milibidivrei Torah v'masa v'matan siyatuhum in Shemaya. Now the Gemara says, now what context, what are we talking about? So this is in terms of Torah knowledge, in terms of your ability to learn. So there, yigia, you got to put in the effort. You know, if you don't put in the effort, so then you can't. Well, to say I don't know, it's fine. Meaning that's, you didn't put the effort in. But to put in the effort and say I have no success, that's you don't believe that. To say I have success in Torah and you didn't put the effort in, again, don't believe that as well. In terms of divrei Torah, you got to put in the effort, and then what will happen is that you will succeed. In terms of business, the Gemara says forget about it. Meaning siyata d'shmaya, that comes strictly from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Gemara over here says that there is no correlation between the effort that you put in and the success that you will have in business. Ula divrei Torah lo amran ela l'chadudei avala ukme girsa siyata min shmayhi. And even in divrei Torah, the Gemara over here subdivides. The Gemara says that when it comes to chadudei, to become sharper in Torah, so that you got to put the effort in. Meaning to learn and to analyze, and the more analysis that you give in the Torah, so the more effort you give in terms of analysis, the better you're going to be at it. Okay, that the Gemara says, that's a given. And that will be correlated with the effort. But in terms of ukma girsa, in terms of retention of memory, so the Gemara says that's also siyata d'shmaya. That also comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Some people retain better than other people, and the Gemara says, that's not correlated to the yigiyah that you put in. Ve'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, imrayta rasha shasha mesachekas lo atitka rabo. If you see a rasha, an evil person, and she's succeeding, so he has success in life, so don't start up with him. Meaning, right, keep away from success. Right. Correct. Shenama, the pasuk says, "Altitacher b'mereim v'lo od elo shadrachav matzlichim." He's going to have continued success. Shenama yachil drachav v'chleis v'lo elo shazochah b'din. You take him to court and you write a litigation. Oh, don't worry, Kadosh Baruch will help me out over here. I'm a good person. He's a bad person. Gemara says, no. If he's successful, he will be successful. Shenama marum mishpatecha minegdo v'lo od elo sharav b'sonav. He's going to see. He's going to have the upper hand over his enemies. Shenema kol tzarav yafiach behem. It'll like blow them away. So the Gemara says, fine. So you have a. So the Gemara tells us an important klal when you have a Rasha who is successful. So he's got the momentum. Things are going to go well for him. And don't think just because he's a Rasha, you can outdo him. That won't be the case. Ini the Gemara says, v'amar Rav Yochanan mishum. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai motol yizgars b'rishayim b'olam hazeh. The Gemara quotes a statement by Rabbi Yochanan, who quotes in the name of the Rashbi, that you can start up with Rishayim in this world, Shenemar Ozvei, Sori, Yahalu, Rasha, Vishomrei Torah, Yizgarubam. You could start up with Rishayim. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. V'tanya Rabbi Dusai ber Masan Amar Mutal Yizgarz ber Rishayim Olam Hazeh. A person can start up with Rishayim in this world. V'im Lachshach Adam Lomar. Al teitacher b'mereim. Now, let's say somebody comes over to you and whispers to you, you know, the pasuk says, al teitacher b'mereim. Right? Don't start up with them. So the Gemara says, v'al tikanei b'osei avla, mishali b'nokfo, omer kein. The Gemara says, you know what? He's really scared. Meaning, he's using the pasuk in the Navi to tell you not to start up with them, but really, the truth of the matter is, he's really scared. Ela al teitacher b'mereim. Now, the pasuk does indicate that you shouldn't start up with Rishayim. Lios kemereim. No, that means that you shouldn't emulate them. And altikanei beosei avla, lios kosei avla. It means don't act like people who are sinners. But in terms of quarreling with them and starting out with them, so the Rav Yochanan says in the name of the Rashbi, that's fine, that you could do. V'omer aikanei libcha bechataim. I'm sorry. V'omer aikanei libcha bechataim. Okay. So the Gemara now is basically at an impasse. Meaning one statement of the Gemara is, don't start up with Rishayim. The Rav Yochanan says the name of the Rashbi, yeah, you can start up with Rishayim. So lokash habemili didei habemili d'shmaya. So the Gemara says, look, we'll make the following distinction. When it's mili didei, when it's matters that are personal matters between you and the Rasha, so the Gemara says to that, don't start up with him. Meaning, and especially if he's successful and he's succeeding, so then you shouldn't start up with him. Mili d'shmaya, but matters that have to do with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, the inyane shamayim, ruchnios, mitzvos. So there, so don't be afraid. You could start up with the rishayim. The ibai se mahava be mili didei velokasha habitzadik gamor habitzadik sheino gamor. Or the Gemara gives another distinction. Maybe we can be talking about personal matters, nothing to do with mitzvos and shamayim and ruchnios, but it's personal matters between you and the rasha. So how do we draw a distinction? If you the distinction is whether you're tzadik gamor or tzadik sheino gamor. It's tzadik gamor, no problem. Don't worry. Start up with the rasha. You're tzadik gamor and you're in good shape. And that would be the same as the Rav Yochanan who quoted in the name of the Rashbi, and certainly understand tzadik gamor in the context of the Rashbi. But at Masha Enkain, if you're not a tzadik gamor, so then you starting up with the rasha just will only highlight your faults and you won't be successful. The Amar Rav Huna my dechsev lama tabid be bogdim tachrish bebelo rasha tzadik mimenu bolei tzadik. I'm sorry, tzadik mimenu bolei tzadik gamor eno bolei. If you're tzadik gamor, you won't be swallowed up. Only if you are just a regular tzadik, if you will.
No tzadik would think that
they're tzadik. That's not true. In other words, to be an anav, to be someone who is humble, doesn't mean that you don't know your greatness. It means you know your greatness, but you know it's okay. It's you don't elevate yourself as a result of it. But the a person can know he's a tzaddik. V'ibay zeh masham misachekes loshani. Or the Gemara points out, no. Another simple answer is as follows: you could start up with a rasha, or tzaddik gamor, eino tzaddik gamor. No, you could start up with a rasha, and as far as the original statement was, don't start up with a rasha when he's successful. The Gemara now just simply points out, okay, if he's in the middle of success, that's different. If he's in the middle of success, so he's got the momentum, things are going well for him, so then don't start up with him. But he's just a rasha, and you're, you know, a quote-unquote, a regular tzaddik, you don't even have to be a tzaddik gamor, so then you could start up with a rasha. Okay, Amar Ula, Ila Shal Yavan Zekrach Gadol Shel Romim. Okay, one last word on the Romans, right? Since the top of the Amud, we've been discussing Germany and the Gemara's description of how unbridled Germany, right, unharnessed Germany would destroy the entire world. And so the Gemara has one more word about Edom and, for that matter, Yavan. Italia shel Yavan. So the Gemara over here describes, right, Italy or Greece. Well, it could go either way. Zekrach Gadol Shel Romim. It's a big city of Rome. The Gemara gives us what seems to be a linear measurement of the landmass. V'yesh ba shin samechei shvakim, k'minyan mosa chama. And there are 365 markets, correlating to the days of the solar year. V'kan shebekulam shel mochre ofos. And it just to give us an idea of how big this was, this market was, the smallest of them sold birds. Vavi shisha asamil, shisha asamil, and that by itself extended 16 by 16 mil. Umelach soed b'chol yom be'achad mehem, and the king dines in one of them every day. V'hadar ba, afa pishenu nola ba, no tel prasmi beis amelach. If you were not born there, v'hadar ba, afa pishenu nola ba, if you live there, even though you're not born there, so you get some sort of consideration from the king. Let's say you were born there, even though you don't live there. So you too get a consideration from the king. And there are 3,000 bathhouses over there. And there are 500 windows where fragrance comes out of it. One side is an ocean, the other side is mountains. Tzadu echad mechitza, one side is walls, shel barzel of iron. Tzadu echad chalusis umutzula, and the other and the last side is fine stones, small stones, bordered by small stones. Okay, what the Gemara is exactly describing in those last five lines, I'm not totally sure. Why the Gemara is describing the Italia shel Yavan? Okay, unclear. The Gemara is not exactly stating its purpose in terms of why it is that we are spending time describing it. Maybe it could just simply be a kiyum of the shvuah that both Yaakov and Esav will be great and successful, and it could be that this just is an illustration of the that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his promise in terms of making Esav a great nation, possibly, but Gemara really is not that particularly clear about it. Okay, we are up to the next Mishnah. We're on the Mishnah on Vav Amud Beis, and basic discussion that will take place. So one of you asked me this recently, and the Mishnah over here is now going to comment on the following. We are discussing now, our basic discussion has been since the beginning of the Masechta, when to read the Megillah. Okay, so, as we know, the primary dates of reading the Megillah are the 14th, 15th day of Adar, depending on whether you live in an unwalled city or in a walled city. And then the Chachamim were makel for the Bnei HaKfarim, where they could read the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. And this is all in the month of Adar. Here we have now a simple question. At times, approximately every third year, right, approximately, so what happens is that an Ibriyar. We add another month into our years. So as opposed to a leap year in the solar system, in the solar years where you add one day every 4 years, so the way it works in the lunar months is that you have to add one month about approximately every third year. And so you're adding another month. And which month do we add? So we all know we add another Adar. So now we are left with a very simple question. In a year where there are two Adars, so will the real Adar please stand up? And the question obviously is, which Adar do we fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah?
But you're assuming there's a fixed calendar now.
Huh?
First letter, they may not know when
Okay, good. That's an excellent point. Well, that's a very good point. And so, okay. So in other words, it may come out that we read the Megillah, and then afterwards we were then given the information that we're adding another Adar this year. That's true. Okay, but either way, in other words, the question still will be the basic question of, well, which one's the real Adar? Because if the second month is the real Adar, if the second Adar is the real Adar, then so we're going to have to read the Megillah again, even though we already read the first Adar. Okay, so the question is really basic. And as we're going to see, I'm sure everyone can imagine, it's a machlokus. But first things first, let's see the Mishnah inside. The Mishnah will present clarity on the issue. The Mishnah will present one position. Covers the Megillah of Adar Rishon. So the Mishnah describes where you read the Megillah on Adar Rishon. Vinis Abra Hashana. And then after read the Megillah, so then based and decided we're going to add another Adar. Okay, so just like Ben described, so we already read the Megillah in the first Adar, and then... Right, 15th, 16th, 17th day of Adar. So Beis Din got together. They looked at the season. They looked at all the factors that you look at. The Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin discusses a lot of the factors that we need to look at in order to make this determination. And they said, we have to add another month of Adar. So they do. And so our Mishnah over here deals with the basic question. Do we have to read the Megillah again? And the Mishnah gives a very clear answer. Yes, you do. Karos Megillah Adar Rishon v'Nisab Rashana, Karos Adar Sheni. So you have to read the Megillah again in Adar Sheni. Ein bein Adar Rishon Adar Sheni ela Kriyas Megillah Matan Sevyonim. And then the Mishnah gives us a catchphrase which we're going to be seeing for the rest of the parak. There is no difference between the first Adar and the second Adar, except for Kriyas Megillah Matan Sevyonim, with exception to the reading of the Megillah and Matan Sevyonim. Meaning that essentially Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni are the same, but when it comes to Kriyas Megillah, it has to be done the second Adar, not the first Adar. So the truth of the matter is the Mishnah is a little bit confusing, because the Mishnah first gives us the impression that really Adar Sheni is Adar. And Adar Rishon was just another month. That was the buffer month, the additional month that was needed in order to make it an Ibra year. But really Adar Sheni is the real Adar. And then the Mishnah says, you know, Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, they're both equal. They're equivalent. And the only notable difference is that in Adar Sheni we're reading the Megillah, not in Adar Rishon. So truth of the matter is that... Maybe the Mishnah is not as simple as I laid it out to begin with. The Mishnah does seem to at first highlight Adar Sheni and then really give an equivalency between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. Okay, but anyway, Hal inyan Seder Parshios Evezeh Shavin. The Gemara's comment is, what about Parshios? We know that as you enter into Rosh Chodesh Adar, so there are four Parshios that we say. We'll talk more about the Dal Parshios later in our Masechta, but we all know. We start with Parsha Shkalim, Parsha Zachor, Parsha Parah, and Parsha Sechodesh. The four special Parshios, where we take out another Sefer Torah, and we learn from the other Sefer Torah, And okay, and the maftir is specific, and the haftarah is specific to the parsha. Okay, the special parsha. Okay, good. Dalet parshios. So when do we read dalet parshios? So again, in a regular year where there's one Adar, so we read dalet parshios. Parsha Shkalim is before Rosh Chodesh Adar. Parsha Zachar is the Shabbos before Purim. Okay, and so if there are two Adar, so when should I be reading dalet parshios? What it sounds like from the Mishnah is, doesn't matter. We could go either way, because the Mishnah says Ein Bein. The only difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is Kriyas Megillah, but in terms of dalet parshios, they're the same. So, and as Rashi and Tosfos both point out, that would mean if our diuk is a correct diuk, that would mean that if I read the dalet parshios, or let's say two of the dalet parshios in Adar Rishon, and then the Beis Din decided that we're going to have another Adar, you're good. You don't have to read the dalet parshios again, which is fine. Meaning that's what the Mishnah seems to indicate. But the problem is, mani masisim lo tanakama v'lo Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yosi v'lo Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Then the problem begins, because we will see a brisa, and the brisa will give us three opinions. Even though we only saw a Mishnah with but one opinion, we're now going to have a brisa that's going to have three opinions in terms of which is the real Adar. It's funny, the question of which is the real Adar, there are only two. So if your choices are either Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni, so how can there be three opinions? Okay, so we learn enough Gemara. We know we could do that. we're capable. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Karos the Megillah about the Rishon Nesabra Hashana Karonos about the Sheni. Shekol Mitzvah Shana Agus B'Sheni No Agus B'Rishon Chutz Mimikra Megillah. So first you have the position of the Tanakama. Tanakama says Adar Sheni is the real Adar. You read the Megillah in Adar Sheni. Even if I read in Adar Rishon, I read in Adar Sheni. But vis-a-vis any of the other mitzvos, you could do that in other Adar Rishon Adar Sheni. Okay. Truth of the matter is that, I mean, we're going to pause for just a moment. Truth of the matter is that our Mishnah seems to be going just like the Tanakhama. So the Gemara's question is, well, our Mishnah's not going like any of these opinions. Tanakhama seems pretty close to our Mishnah. So we'll see in just a moment why it is that the Gemara at this juncture does not think that our Mishnah and the Tanakhama are in agreement with one another. Okay, close parentheses, let's go on. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi our main karna so ba'adar sheni shekol mitzvah shana agus b'sheni no hagus b'rishon. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says you don't read an adar sheni because all the mitzvahs that are no b'sheni no hag b'rishon, meaning the first adar is the real adar, not the second. You read the Megillah number one, you do all the mitzvahs the number one, an adar one, an adar aleph, not an adar beis. Okay, good. Clearly our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Elazar. Okay, that one's easy. And then finally, Rishim and Gamliel, Amen, Rishim Rabbi Yossi, Afkar no Saba Adar Sheni. No, you read the Megillah in Adar Sheni. Shekol Mitzvah Shenagas B'Sheni, Eino Hagas B'Rishon. Any of the mitzvahs that are Noeg and Sheni are not Noeg and Rishon. Vishav and Basav, Vitan and Shasurim B'Zeh B'Zeh. Now, we all are in agreement that eulogies and fasting are both prohibited in both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. So that means the 14th and 15th day of both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni are Usher in Tanis and Hesped. Period. Ad kan divrei habraisa, and Rav Shimon Gamliel hainu Tanakama. And the Gemara's first analysis is: first of all, there does not seem to be a difference between the Tanakama and Shimon Gamliel. They seem to be saying the same thing. Amar Rav Papa seder parshios ika menahu. So Rav Papa says, no. What's different between them is seder parshios. The dalet parshios, the Tanakama sever lechatzchila b'sheni, the avod berishon avod bar mimikra megillah da'apagav dekar berishon kar b'sheni. The Tanakhama's position is that really the preferred time to do the dalet parshios is an Adar Sheni. If I do an Adar Rishon, it's okay, but I'd prefer to do an Adar Sheni, as opposed to Mikra Megillah, where that has to be done an Adar Sheni, not an Adar Rishon. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi Savrafila Mikra Megillah Chetzchila B'Rishon, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, no, the reading of the Megillah has to be done an Adar Rishon, not an Adar Sheni. V'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savrafila Seder Parshios Ikar B'Rishon Karu, Karabisheni, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says no. Fundamentally, the second Adar is the real Adar. Therefore, both the Kriyas HaMegillah and the Dalet Parshios has to be read in Adar Sheni, not in Adar Rishon. So Mani. So now that we have everything clarified, we have all three opinions clarified, and so now the question of the Gemara is: who is our Mishnah going like? Itanakama Kashya Matanos. If our Mishnah is going like the Tanakhama, here's a problem. It's really a small problem. It's not a big problem. And that is that the Tanakhama of the Braisa did not mention Matanos Levyonim, and our Mishnah does. Short of that, they are in total agreement. Meaning, look back at our Mishnah, look back at the Tanakhama of the Braisa, and you'll see that primarily they agree, principally they agree, that the reading of the Megillah has to be done in two, not in one. If I read in one and then they made another Sheni, I got to read again in two. The Lichatchila, I'd like the state of Parshiyos to be done in two, but if you do it in one, it's okay. Okay, so basically the Tanakhama of the Braisa and our Mishnah are essentially the same. The only notable difference is Matanos Levyonim. The Mishnah mentions it, and the Braisa doesn't. And it's not, as the Gemara will point out in just a moment, that's not a major problem. In fact, to give away the Gemara, we'll come up with a simple solution for that. So really, our Mishnah is going like the Tanakhama. And E, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi, Kashanami, Mikra Megillah. Now, for sure, Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi. That's clear. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi looks at Adar Rishon as the primary Adar, not Adar Sheni. So he's not going like our Mishnah. And E, Rishon ben Gamliel, Kasha Seder Parshios. And it's certainly not going like Rishon ben Gamliel, because even though Rishon ben Gamliel principally agrees that Adar Sheni is the real Adar, just like our Mishnah, but Rishon ben Gamliel goes actually one step further. Rishon ben Gamliel says that Adar Sheni is so much the real Adar, everything has to be done on Adar Sheni. The Mikra Megillah, the Dalet Parshios, and on that the Tanakh, our Mishnah doesn't agree. Our Mishnah says Dalet Parshios can be done in either one or two. Fine. So, who is the author of our Mishnah? So, La Olam Tanakhama. Okay, so the answer is the author of our Mishnah says Tanakhama. V'tana Mikra Megillah v'u ademataz v'yonim d'haba hatalya. And what about the fact that the Tanakhama doesn't mention Matanos Levyonim? Matanos Levyonim is included in Mikra Megillah. Remember, we just said this the other day. We're saying it again right now. And that is that when we read the Megillah, so that's what that's the Pavlovian response of the Aniyim is going to be, oh, okay, Mikra Megillah? Okay, let's go and collect. So, and remember, we asked the question. Right, we asked the question, why don't we read the Megillah on Shabbos? So the answer, the primary answer of the Gemara is Gzeret Rabbah, because we may carry Dal Amos Brishos Rabin. But then the Gemara gave a secondary answer. Secondary answer is, if we were to read the Megillah on Shabbos, so then the Anim won't be able to collect. And we know, one of the mitzvahs of Purim is Matanos Levyonim. And so therefore, with Mikra and Megillah comes Matanos Levyonim. Okay, good. So that is, so good. In our Gemara now, the Tanakhama of the Braisa and our Mishnah are in total agreement. What about the fact that the Tanakhama doesn't mention Matanos Levyonim? It's included in Mikra Megillah. The Ibaisem Alolam Rishon Gamliel Hi Umasnitsin Chasur Mefzu V'Hachi Ketani. The Gemara makes now a different suggestion. Maybe the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who views Adar Sheni as the primary Adar. And then, how is he going to read our Mishnah? We're going to have to insert a little bit into the Mishnah. And here's how we're going to reread the Mishnah. Ein ben arbasa sheba adar rishon leyudal sheba adar sheni el mikra megillah umatanos. Oh, good. The way we're going to now, what we're going to not amend, but have a new understanding of our Mishnah, is that the Mishnah wasn't making a grand comparison between the first adar and the second adar. The Mishnah was making a much more localized comparison, the 14th day of Adar Rishon and the 14th day of Adar Sheni. That's the comparison. Haling in Hesbe, Vitanis Devise Shavin. But in that regard, that's what our Mishnah is saying, that the only difference between them is Mikra Megillah, but in terms of fasting and eulogizing, they're exactly the same. Vilu Seder Parshios Lamairi. And our Mishnah is just simply not dealing with Seder Parshios. Because our Mishnah is not making a general comparison between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. Our Mishnah is making a very specific comparison between day 14 of Adar Rishon versus day 14 of Adar Sheni. Okay, and then we're good. And then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would say, like our Mishnah, as far as the Dalet Parshios are concerned, you can only read that in Adar Sheni, not in Adar Rishon. I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Abin, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Hilchasa Karev Shimon Gamliel, Sha'am Rabbi Shum Rabbi Yossi. And then the Gemara concludes, the Halachas like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So, to the question that we started off this discussion, will the real Adar stand up? So the real Adar is Adar Sheni. Adar Sheni is the real Adar. Adar Rishon, that's the buffer. That's the additional month that we added. But in terms of which is the real Adar, Adar Sheni is the real Adar, that's where we do Mikra Megillah. That's where we do Dalet Parshios. The Gemara concludes like Rishon ben Gamliel. So we do know that once Rosh Chodesh Nisan is declared, that's it. All right, the window of opportunity is closed. You can't do it. But typically they would do it towards the beginning of Adar. But you have till really the end of the month of Adar. Not necessarily. Meaning it could be it could be after you read the Megillah. They're going to make the decision, the determination. Generally, they made the determination earlier, but it could be that it was even after Mikra Megillah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shnei Mikra Echad Darshu. Now, in terms of what were they expanding? So the Gemara quotes the name of Yochanan that they are looking at the same pasuk. B'chol Shana V'Shana. Should sound familiar? We made this argument back on Daf Gimel, right? We want consistency. The Megillah says every year we're going to read the Megillah consistently. And so now the only question is, how does that translate? Meaning, we know we want consistency. What is that? How does that actually manifest? Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Sabra b'chol shana v'shana, makol shana v'shana, adar asamach l'shvat, afkan adar asamach l'shvat. So we want the adar that's proximate to Shvat, because that's every year we have the adar proximate to Shvat. And Shem Gamliel, Sabra b'chol shana v'shana, makol shana v'shana, adar asamach l'nisan, afkan adar asamach l'nisan. And so here you can also defend Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. We also want consistency. We want to read the Megillah in the Adar that's proximate to Nisan. So when there are two Adars, so we're going to choose two, because that's the one proximate to Nisan. So the truth of the matter is that each position can be argued successfully, even from the standpoint of consistency. So now the Gemara invokes a very strong argument on behalf of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yossi. And that is, Ein ma'avir nol mitzvos. I don't pass over a mitzvah. Right? You have a mitzvah opportunity. So you take it, you pick up on it right away. So if I have a choice of reading during Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni, so obviously I'd read in Adar Rishon because in Ma'avir Nola Mitzvah.
But you can argue that there's no mitzvah.
Perfect. You read my mind. In other words, the Gemara doesn't articulate this. But in other words, what we could suggest is that in defense of Rosh Hashanah Gamliel is that there's no mitzvah. Meaning Adar Rishon is Adar by name, but not Adar in status.
But
your first point I think is very strong. The Gemara doesn't articulate it. But again, the set calendar versus the non-set calendar is okay, because we know that there are going to be two others coming, and so okay, I'll accept that. But
No.
In other words, the point is no. They would do Mikra Megillah too, meaning when the Gemara passes like Reshim Gamliel. Meaning, even if we didn't know the second Adar was coming, and then the Beis Din decide to do so, okay, so we have to, and even if we did it once, that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Even if we did it once, we got to do it again.
All
that's going to be in two.
But if you did it before, the Mishnah says that you don't need to do it again, do you?
No, the Mishnah says you do.
You do.
Yeah. The right, Karos Megillah Ba'adar Rishon, Vinizabra Hashanah Koronos Ba'adar Sheni. Okay, so El Rishim and Gamliel my taima. So the Gemara says, and what are we going to say on behalf of Rishim and Gamliel? So Amar Rabbi Tevi, Tamid Rishim and Gamliel, Misamech Geula LeGeula Adif. We want to take the two Geulas and put them proximate to one another. So therefore, the Geula of Purim, where we experience the Geula of Pesach, we want to take them and put them as close to one another as possible. Why do we want to do that? The Gemara doesn't really articulate, but that's what we want to do. And as a result of that, we want, therefore, to put the Mikra Megillah in Adar Sheni, not Adar Rishon. Okay. Rishim Gamliel Mesamach Gula Adar. Rabbi Lazar Amar Time of the Rishim Gamliel Mehachad Echsiv Kaimas Yeres Apurim Azosa Sheinis. Okay. The Gemara gives another reason on behalf of Rishim Gamliel, and that is the pasuk in the Megillah. The pasuk in the Megillah says the Kaimas Yeres Apurim Azos Hashenis. Now you understand that we're really taking the pasuk out of context. This is not the pshat in the pasuk. Pshat in the pasuk, Yigeres Hashini, is the second letter. What does that mean, second letter? Second letter is opposed to the first letter. The first letter said, kill the Jews. Second letter says, Jews, stand up for yourself. Okay, so that's the simple pshat in the pasuk. But the Gemara now is taking that pasuk and darshaning the pasuk. What does that mean? Yigeres HaPurim Azos Hashini, meaning that if I have two others, go with other two, not with other one. And the Gemara says they're necessary. We're on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. They are both necessary, meaning both the argument of consistency and the argument of, not the argument, but the pasuk of Hashenis. Because if I had b'chol shana v'shana, if we were just arguing consistency, well, I would say, well, every year we read the Megillah in the Adar immediately following Shvat, so here too, let's read the Megillah in the Adar immediately following Shvat. So therefore, kamash mon hasheni. So that's what the pasuk is coming to tell me. Coming to tell me hasheni. Nope, Adar too. So kamash malan b'chol shana v'shana. So if and all I had was shenit, I might have thought read one and two, meaning maybe the pasuk is telling me that there's a mitzvah to read in both others. So kamash malan b'chol shana v'shana, and that's what b'chol shana v'shana is coming to tell me: consistency. What are we consistent about? That it's only one kriyas ha-megillah. Which one is it going to be? Hashenit. It's going to be the second one. Okay. One last loose string to tie up, and that is, what's Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi going to do with the pasuk of Hashanit? So what he's going to do with the pasuk of Hashanit is to tell us that in the year following Purim, so they instituted Purim, the Yontif of Purim, the Takana of Purim, only for Shushan. And then after that, then they revisited and said that the Mitzvah Purim is going to be for the entire world. So Purim basically came in stages. First for Shushan, and then for the entire world, and that's what he does with the Pasuk of Hashenis. That's the revisiting of the Takana Purim. Okay. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Okay, here we go. We are about to embark on a Gemara that really takes us to some of the most fundamental issues regarding Purim. Okay, let's see inside. Amar Shmuel Bar Yehuda Shachlam Esther L'Chachamim. So Esther sent the following letter to the Chachamim, Kavuna L'Daros. I want you to establish me for all generations. What does that mean? Kavuna L'Daros, establish me for all generations. Take a look at Rashi. Right, the second line on the Amud in Rashi, Kavuni, L'Yom Tov U'L'Kriya L'Yos Li L'Shem. I want you to establish Purim to be a Yontif. Right? A Yontif, Kriya. Now, by the way, Rashi says Yontif. Go back to what we learned yesterday, that there was, right, we saw yesterday, one position in the Gemara, and certainly Ahava, at least Ahava Mina, that what Purim was going to become was a real Yontif, meaning with an Issa Malacha, like a real Yontif. And Rashi over here says that's what she wanted. She wanted Purim to become a Yontif, and Kriyas HaMegillah. Kavuni L'Daros. Shachulah kina at me'oreres aleinu lebeinu umos. So the Chachamim sent back to Esther, well, we can't do that. Politics. Right? Rashi kina at me'oreres aleinu shiyamru umos sh'anu smeichem la'askim ha'palasam. Well, we start every year celebrating the day of Purim, and so what are we going to be doing? Eating and drinking and joy on a day in our and the downfall of our enemies. So it's not gonna do well in terms of the international community. Shalchalem kvar ksuva ani al divra hayamim lemachay madai ufaras. See, he says, look, it's already in the history books. You worry that they're gonna. We don't want to remind them about the events. It's already in their history books, and so therefore nothing to worry about. Just as an interesting aside, the reigning countries of the time were Paros and Madai. Every time the Megillah, the two of them are mentioned, it was a dual ruling of both the nationalities of Persia and Mede. Every time the Megillah they're mentioned, it's mentioned as Paros and Madai, except for one time in the Megillah, and that's the last time in the Megillah. Last time in the Megillah, it's mentioned as Madai Ufaras. It's interesting, the Gemara over here chooses the language of Mache Madai Ufaras. But anyway, so basically her counter-argument is it's already in the history books, so therefore, don't worry. Meaning, don't worry about the political fallout. There won't be a political fallout. The international community will not go crazy if we start celebrating this every year. Okay. Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva, Masnu. So the Gemara quotes a statement made by four Amorayim. Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Chaviva. And Masna Bakula said, "Amoiki Kolki Aizuga Chalufa Rabbi Yochanan Ma'ail Rabbi Yonasan." And then the Gemara makes like almost like an editorial comment, and that is every time you see these four Amoraim put together, so take out Rabbi Yochanan and insert Rabbi Yonasan. Okay, Shalchalam Esther LeChachamim. Esther sent the following letter to the Chachamim, Kizvuni Ladaros. I want you to write this down. What does that mean, write this down? Once again, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi doesn't have, let's go back to the Gemara. Kizvuni Ladaros. So write me down. Ostensibly what she's asking for is that the story of Purim both be written down and included in Tanakh, right? What we would call canonized. So she wanted the Megillas Esther to become part of the corpus of Tanakh. So Shalchula Halo Kasati Lach Shlishim. So the Chachamim sent back a letter to Esther and say, we can't do it. Why not? Because of Pasuk and Mishlei, and the Pasuk and Mishlei says Halo Kasati Lach Shlishim. We can only mention it three times. We can't mention it four times. Shlishim v'lo revi'im. Okay, three and not four. Right. So good. So Ben asked the right question. What are we talking about? Three and not four. So first of all, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. So that means it's written by Shlomo HaMelech. So you take a look at Rashi over here on the Gemara. So Rashi over here writes as follows. Rashi says, look, when we do battle with Haman, what essentially are we doing? It's a malik. Mechamas amalek. We're fighting against the malik. And what Rashi says is that we're only entitled to write down three wars with Amalek and no more than three wars with Amalek. Now, let's count the three wars against Amalek. So, essentially, we're going to have once in Sefer in Parshas Beshalach, once in Parshas Kiseitse. Now, you may argue, and you may say, don't count that as two, count that as one. As you'll see in a moment, that's what Esther's going to argue. But once at the end of Beshalach, once at the end of Parshas Kiseitse, and... point taken. But the and then once again in Sefer Shmuel, meaning Shaul actually doing battle with the Amalek. So that's it. So Rashi says, and now that there are three mentions of Milchamas Amalek mentioned in the Torah, we can't include you because that would be a fourth, and the Pasuk of Mishlei says we can only do three, not four. Now, that's Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. Good. Why is there a cap? Why can't we mention Milchamas Amalek more than three times? I don't know. Meaning, what's behind this? I'm unsure. But that's Rashi's understanding. Right? The Ritva, it's interesting. I'll just share with you. I rarely veer from Rashi. The Ritva says over here, you want to hear it, it's a great shot. The Ritva says, you know what the Chacham's response to Esther was when Esther asked that her work be canonized? The Chacham's response is Shlomo HaMelech wrote a lot, right? He authored much more than we have. How many of Shlomo HaMelech's Sfarim made it into Tanakh? Three, and only three, and no more than three, right? Mishlei, Shir HaShirim, and Koheles, and that's it. And so the Chacham's response to Esther is, if Shlomo, who made the request to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have more than three of his works, including Tanakh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is three, not four, so what are we going to do? Now we're going to add your work in as well? Shlomo was capped at three, and he didn't go further than three, and now you want to be included? That's the Ritva's understanding of our Gemara. And you'll see as we go through the Gemara, his pshat in the Gemara is really supportable based on the Gemara coming up. Okay. Back to the Gemara. And what she did is... or not clear who exactly did this, but okay, let's she did it, they did it, and however it works. Achimatzal mikra kasav b'Torah, sov zo zikaron b'sefer. Okay, we're at the end of Sefer B'Shalach, the end of Parshas B'Shalach, and the pasuk says, write this down by Sefer. So zos mashakasav kano v'mishnah Torah. So the first two words, sov zos, write this down. So what's written over here in the Mishnah Torah, meaning basically what I rejected originally, but now the Gemara is going to accept it. Meaning the mentions of Chamas Amalek in the end of Bishalach and in the end of Parshas Kiseitse, count that as one. Zikaron, Mashakasa b'Nevi'im, and Zikaron is what's mentioned in the Nevi'im. And Basefer, now we're left with one word left, Mashakasa b'Megillah, that which is written in the Megillah. Okay, so now basically what we did is, with a little bit of accounting, so we counted, right? Agree. The Gemara. Okay, the Gemara. Not for a moment will consider that The Megillah Esther was not written Beruach HaKodesh. The Gemara will assume that from beginning to end. The only question now is, can it become the corpus of Tanakh? That's the only issue in the Gemara. And to which the Gemara now says, based on our new accounting, so yes, the answer is yeah, we can. Because basically we'll do B'shach and Kisetze as one, Shmuel and the story of Shaul and Amalek as two, and now the Megillah is going to be three. So Kitanai. And the Gemara now points out, this is the Machlokas Tanayim. Psav Zos Mashakasav Kan, Zikaron Mashakasav Ben Mishnah Torah, and Besever Mashakasav Ben Nivim Divrei Rabbi Yehoshua. So Rabbi Yeshua has Bishalach being one, Kiseitze being two, and Shmuel, and the story in Shmuel, that's three. So according to Rabbi Yehoshua, that's it, we're done. We're capped. And as far as Esther and Megillas Esther is concerned, not part of Tanakh. And Rabbi Lazar Amodai Amar Ksav Zos Mashakasav Kan Uve Mishnah Torah, Zikaron Mashakasav Ben Nevi'im Besefer Mashakasav Ben Megillah, and Rabbi Lazar Amodai takes our position, which is no. That Sof Zos counts both Bishalach and Kiseitze. Zikaron is Sefer Shmuel, and Besefer is a Megillah. Amar Rabbi Amar Shmuel Esther Met Eino Metame Esi Adayim. And so now more discussion on this issue of whether or not Esther is part of Tanakh or not part of Tanakh. Just a very quick introduction. Remember back in Masechta Shabbos, in the beginning we talked about Yud Ches Davar. We talked about 18 enactments that were made by Beis Shammai, and eventually Beis Hillel capitulated to Beis Shammai. And they mostly had to do with Tum and Tahara, and one of the 18 enactments is that any sefer, meaning any work that's part of Tanakh is subject to Tumas Yadayim, which means that if I touch the sefer with my hands become tameh. Now I know that sounds strange because we're talking about a sefer with kedusha, and my hands are going to become tameh when I touch a sefer. The answer is yes. Beis Shammai may touch a gzera, and Beis Hillel eventually agreed to it. And why? So because they used to store the truma with their sefer kodesh. Right, this is Kodesh and that's Kodesh, so he used to store the Truma with the Sefer Kodesh, and the rats would come and eat the Truma, and together with that they would deface the Sfarim. So therefore the Chachamim said, no, you take a Sefer Torah and you put it together with Truma, the Truma is going to become Tummy. It was a way of basically protecting our Sefer Kodesh. Okay, so basically a litmus test to see whether or not a Sefer is part of Tanakh or not part of Tanakh is if it's Metame Siadayim. If it's Metame Yadayim, I know this is counterintuitive. If it's Metame Yadayim, that's Kodesh. That's part of Tanakh. If it's not Metame Yadayim, you know, it's good reading. But it's not part of Tanakh. Okay? So Amar Yoram Shmuel, so the Gemara quotes the name of Shmuel, Esther's Eino Metame Yadayim. Okay, everyone following? That means not part of Tanakh. And now the Gemara says, really? And you mean to tell me that according to Shmuel, Esther was not written, Megillah Esther was not written with Ruach HaKodesh? V'amar Shmuel, Esther Ruach HaKodesh Namra. Shmuel himself says that it was written by Ruach HaKodesh. So Namra Likros V'lo Namra Lichtov. So the Gemara says, yes, Ruach HaKodesh. Meaning this is what I mentioned earlier. That there was never a moment where the Gemara thought that Esther was not written by Ruach HaKodesh. It was written by Ruach HaKodesh. Just a question of whether or not to be included in the corpus of Tanakh. And Shmuel's position is not included in the Sifrei Tanakh. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges Rabbi Meir Omer Kalhasen and Thomas Yadayim. And here the Braisa now is going to basically give us a list of Sifrei Tanakh, or I should put Tanakh in parentheses, meaning debatable whether it's part of Tanakh or not. According to Rabbi Meir Kalhasen, it's not Metamas Yadayim. Omachlogs b'shir Ashirim. Shir Ashirim, debatable. And Rabbi Yossi Amar, Shir Ashirim Metamas Yadayim. Omachlogs b'Kohalas. Rabbi Yossi says Shir Ashirim is for sure part of Tanakh, and Kohalas debatable. And Rabbi Shimon Amar Kohalas Mikula Beis Shammai Mechomer Beis Hillel. And Rabbi Shimon says Kohalas is part of the leniencies of Beis Shammai, meaning he does not view it as part of Tanakh, and Chomer Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel does. Aval Rus v'Shir Ashirim v'Esther Metamas Yadayim. But the Brice ends off by Rus and Shir Ashirim and Esther are all Metamas Yadayim. So according to this Brice, it comes down now the Sefer Esther, Megillas Esther, is Metamas Yadayim. Shmuel, what are you going to do with that? So who damer to Rabbi Yoshua? So he says very simply, what do you mean, what am I going to do with that? That's one brisa. Remember, we quoted a brisa earlier. According to Rabbi Yoshua, Sof Zos Zikaron B'Sefer, that is, Sof Zos is B'Shalach, Zikaron is Kiseitze, and Basefer is Shmuel. No room for Megillah. No room for Megillah Esther. And so, what Shmuel would say in his defense is, I have Rabbi Yeshua. So, in other words, Machlok is Tanayim, and I hold like Rabbi Yeshua. Megillah Esther was written by Shmuel. Yes. Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Manasi, Omer Kol HaSanim HaTamas Yadayim. Memeshe Chachmaso Shal Shlomahi. So Rabbi Shimon Manasi says that Kohalas is not Metamis Yadayim, because what it is, it's Shlomo's wisdom. Meaning it's not Ruach HaKodesh. It's his Chachma. Amar lo v'chizeh b'var amar v'lo k'var ne'amar v'yidaber shlosha salaf en mashal. V'omer ato seif al dvarav. So to which the response to Rabbi Shimon Manasi is, no it's not. Meaning Shlomo HaMelech, he wrote 3,000 mashalim, 3,000 parables. So his wisdom goes much greater than Sefer Koheles. And furthermore, Alto Sefer Dvarav. And when he wrote Sefer Koheles, the Kosh Baruch Hu says to him, stop. Meaning, you can't write more than what's written over here. Meaning, you may have more to say, but that's fine. That's your Chachma. Don't include your Chachma in Sefer Koheles, only that which is done by Ruach HaKodesh. My Omer, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. V'chitema meimer tuva amar di ba'yichtav v'adai ba'ylo ichtav tashma tosef advarav. So the Gemara says that's exactly why we need that extra pasuk, because I might have thought that the truth of the matter is that, look, maybe you know what Sefer Koheles is? Maybe it's like kind of like the best of. Meaning, Shlomo had many mashalim, many parables, and maybe Sefer Koheles was just simply the best of. Okay? And the Gemara says, no, Alto Sefer Advarav means no. That you can't add to Sefer Koheles. Meaning that Sefer Koheles is Beruach HaKodesh, leave it at that. You have other mashalim, that's great. You want to pen your other mashalim, that's also fine. But you can't include that as part of Sefer Koheles. Tanya, Rabbi Lazar, Amir, Esther Beruach HaKodesh, Ne'amar, Shenemar. The Gemara is now going to give a number of arguments that Esther has to be written Beruach HaKodesh. Number one, Vayomer Haman Bilibo. Haman said to himself, right? In other words, the Megillah is telling us what Haman was thinking. Well, how are we supposed to know? Rabbi Akiva Amar Esther Beruach HaKodesh Ne'amar Shenemar V'ti Esther Noses Chaim Be'inei Kol Ro'eha. Everyone looked at Esther and loved her. Well, how is the author of the Megillah supposed to know unless it was written Beruach HaKodesh? Rabbi Meir Amar Esther Beruach HaKodesh Ne'amar Shenemar V'yivada HaDavar LaMordechai. The matter was known to Mordechai. Well, how did Mordechai know? Oh, Beruach HaKodesh. And Rabbi Yossi Ben Durum Askias Amar Esther Beruach HaKodesh Ne'amar Shenemar Uvabizalo Shachas Yadam. That when the Jews fought around the world against their enemies, they didn't touch any of the spoils. Uvabi zalo shachus yadam. Well, how do we know? It must be Beruach HaKodesh. Okay? Four different arguments provided in the Braisa in terms of how we know it was not written Beruach HaKodesh. Amar Shmuel. Okay, I know we hear a lot of Shmuel today. Amar Shmuel. I havei hasam havamina milsa da'adifa mikulu. Shmuel says, if I were there, now again, this is Shmuel the Amora talking about Tanayim, and he says that if I were there, I would have said something that would be better than all of them. Shenamar kima v'kiblu kima l'mala ma shekiblu l'mata. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquiesced to Purim. Now, how do we know? So we know because of Ruach HaKodesh. So Amar Rava l'kulu yisle pircha l'bar midishmo d'le yisle pircha. Rava says, I can challenge any one of these Tanaim. I know it's very strange, right? Amarayim, Shmuel, Rava, who are pretty confidently challenging the Tanaim. But that's what we're seeing. Rava says, I could challenge any one of the Tanaim, but you know what? I can't challenge Shmuel. Shmuel's approach seems to be foolproof. So the Gemara now goes and goes through each one. Kamafish, I'm sorry. Pirch labam yishmul de leisle pircha. The Rebbe Lazar Savra, who de lo have inish de chashal amaka kavasei. Vahai, ki kamafish tuva, v'amar adaita de nafshe kamar. As far as the first proof, that of Rabbi Lazar, where he says, v'yamar haman b'libo, Haman says to himself, and what is he saying to himself? Who is greater than me? So the Gemara says there's many evidences in the Megillah itself where Haman makes a suggestion, I'll put on the big day malchus and I'll put on the crown. Meaning clearly, we know what he was thinking based on his actions. Two, the Rebbe Akiva Delma Rebbe Lazar Damar Malamit Shekol Echad VeEchad Nidmasa Lo Keumaso. As far as everyone was taken by Esther and her beauty, so to that the Gemara says we don't need Ruach HaKodesh. Everybody took credit for her. Okay, in other words, every nationality said, oh, she's from our nation. Right, Esther was neutral. I don't exactly know what that means, but right, she didn't necessarily look like any specific ethnicity, and so everyone took credit for her. So everyone's taking credit for her. So again, you don't need Ruach HaKodesh. Just by the feedback, we knew that everyone was taken by her. And Vahad Rebbe Meir, the third proof of Rebbe Meir, which was the matter was known to Mordechai. So the Gemara says Demakar Rebbe Chia Bar Abadam Rabbigam Veser Shnei Tarshim Hayu. Maybe they were Tarshia, meaning that Mordechai understood what they were talking about. And so it wasn't Ruach HaKodesh, he heard them. He understood them. And Vahad Rabbi Yossi Bar Duranski Sima Parsik De Shadur. And as far as we didn't touch the spoils of war, so how do we know we didn't touch the spoils of war? Not Ruach HaKodesh. There was correspondence. Letters were sent from all over the world saying, you know, the Jews defend themselves and, you know, they didn't touch any spoils. So Dishmol Vader Lesley Pircha. Let's just conclude with this. Amar Ravina Hai Nadamar Inshi Tavachada Pilpula Charifta Mimale Tzani Kare. One sharp pepper is better than a basket of gourd. Meaning the one sharp pepper to Shmuel, meaning small but sharp, as opposed to the basket of gourd, which is all the Tanaim that we mentioned earlier. Kri Rav Yosef, Amar Mehachav Yemei Purim Eila Lo Yavru Mitocha Yehudim. Another proof that the Purim is going to stay with the Jews forever. You say that statement, but only with Ruach HaKodesh. You can't forecast the future without Ruach HaKodesh. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Mehachav Zichram Lo Yasuf Mizaram. A similar idea that the memory will never be forgotten. Again, has to have been said by Ruach HaKodesh. So six different arguments provided in the Gemara, four by the Tanaim, and three, seven, I guess, and three by the Amoraim, in terms of how we know that Esther was written by Ruach HaKodesh. And then the big discussion of Zayin Amad Aleph is whether or not Esther is part of Tanakh. Conclusion, of course, is Esther is part of Tanakh. And Lamaisa, Halach Lamaisa means Metamis Yadayim.